I hear this all the time. I'd love to homestead, but we can't afford it. Or, homesteading is for the upper class. Are you stuck in sticker shock when you try and emulate what other homesteaders are doing? What if I told you there are some common things in the homesteading world that are totally unnecessary and that people are just blowing their money on? If this is the lifestyle you desire, but you're stuck with the financial side of things, tune in today to hear the things you do not need to start your homestead. Hey mama, welcome to the Farm Family Table, where you can find encouragement and practical tips for living the healthy homesteading life that God is calling you to. Hi, I'm Jocelyn, farm wife and mom of two littles. I know that you want to provide the best food for your family while being more self-reliant. And I believe there's a way to start homesteading with less stress, more joy, and more time focusing on what matters most, faith and family. Want to learn how? Join me as we build our homesteads together. So pop in those earbuds and start that load of laundry because we're about to dive in. Hey ladies, I am so excited to dive in with you today and talk about how to avoid wasting money on unnecessary things for your homestead, so you can spend money on growing your homestead in a way that truly matters for your family. If you enjoyed today's content, you can find more free resources on our website at farmfedfamily.com. Check it out and don't forget to subscribe to our email list so you can get instant access to new recipes, gardening tips, and exclusive content. Also, we'd love to answer your questions. Very soon, we are going to be bringing you fun Q&A style episodes. If you have a question related to gardening, cooking from scratch, or anything in between, you can email it to us using the link in the show notes to get your question featured on the show. All right, it's time to talk about the things you do not need on your homestead. Let's learn to cut costs in the right places to achieve your homesteading dreams, all on a very modest income. I have six things that I want to talk about today. None of these things are wrong or bad if you have purchased these, but just know that these are not necessary to getting started in homesteading. These are conveniences that you can get by without if you're not in a place where you can afford convenience. My husband and I are very practical minded when it comes to our finances, and we run our homestead on a pretty tight budget. For us, any financial investment we make needs to make sense, and we need to be money ahead or at least break even in the long run for it to be worth it for us. So whenever we're going to be making a new big purchase, we kind of look at it through that lens. Is this really what we need? Does this really make sense for what our circumstances are right now? Or is this an investment that we know is going to help us in the long run, that we're actually going to save money by making this investment upfront? There's a lot of homestead things that people promote on social media right now that look really cool or cute or fun, but it's important to not do things backwards. Don't make a big purchase just because somebody convinced you you need it and you swear you'll use it someday. Don't buy someday purchases. Buy what you truly need for the right now. And honestly, our family has been homesteading for several generations at this point, and we still haven't bought any of these things that I'm going to talk about today. That is my best proof that I can give you that the things that I'm sharing today, you can get by without these, and they're just the cherry on the top. They're 100% extra. They're the conveniences that if you can afford them, great, but don't blow your money on them if that's not where you're at. Okay, so are you ready to hear the list of six things that homesteaders blow their money on? Number one, overbuilt infrastructure. Building structures on your property without a clear goal or immediate need is just going to be a huge money pit. So this could be fencing, barns, sheds, really any structure that's going to require construction. Even a basic shed is going to cost at least a couple thousand dollars. You can dump money into construction projects so easily, and you really have to have a good idea of what it's going to be used for, and make sure you're not building something bigger than what you truly need. Only build what you need in the moment, not for the future, because the future changes and your priorities could change. You can always add to your property as your needs change and finances allow, but I think way too many people have this vision of what they want their homestead to look like, and they build to that vision without really acknowledging how long it's going to take to get there and if that's even really what's going to happen in the long term. Okay, the second thing that homesteaders blow their money on is elaborate garden systems. And I have a few things I want to talk about with this. So the first part of that is raised beds. And I know that I've talked about raised beds before in previous episodes. While there are benefits to raised beds, there's a big additional cost, not only to building beds, but also hauling in additional soil. And the majority of the time, they're just not needed. In most cases, you can enhance the current soil sufficiently for much less. I think so many people see raised beds as a barrier to entry for gardening, and it makes me sad because, yes, there are benefits and they can be helpful, but it's not a requirement for starting a garden, and you can have a successful garden even if you cannot afford to put in raised beds and haul in potting soil. Watering systems is another example. So this would be sprinkler irrigation systems or rainwater systems. And I'm not talking about having a simple rain barrel under your downspout. I'm talking about systems that actually pipe the rainwater to the garden. Do these things make work easier? Yes. Is it necessary? No. It is convenient to have the irrigation systems that automatically water your garden. It's convenient to have the rainwater systems that automatically pipe it out to your garden. It eliminates a lot of the manual labor when you have those systems in place. And I can understand if you're in an area that your garden needs a lot of watering, if it's hot and dry, and if you're growing on a larger scale. But really think about how much manual labor do you actually do to water your backyard garden. For a typical small-scale backyard garden, a hose and a bucket goes a long way, and trust me, it's a whole lot cheaper. Okay, the third thing that I want to talk about for elaborate garden systems is impressive compost tumblers. And before we really dive into this one, I want to debunk a couple myths about compost before we talk about the compost tumblers. So first, I want to say, while compost is a valuable addition to your garden, you don't need compost in order to garden. A lot of people think that they need a compost pile if they're going to start a garden and garden successfully, but that's not true. A lot of times your garden will do fine without it, or you can supplement with fertilizer. Second, you don't need a bin or a tumbler to compost at all. You can compost in an open pile and just rotate it or kind of fluff it around with a rake. It's going to take longer to break down than a bin, but you can just do it in a pile. If you really want a tumbler versus a pile, don't buy a super expensive one. I see so many compost tumblers that are $300 and more, which is just ridiculous in my opinion. Buy a $20 black garbage bin and make your own. I've seen quite a few DIY tutorials of this. Basically, you need the black so it'll absorb sunlight and create a nice warm environment. You'll need to drill some holes in it for aeration, and you need a way to tumble or mix it. So this could be, you know, building your own base that it can rock back and forth on, or it can be as simple as tipping the garbage can on its side and rolling it across your yard. But either way, it should not cost $300 to make that. And if you are spending that much money on a compost tumbler, think about, what is your return of investment in that? Are you really going to make $300 worth of compost in that bin? And even if you do make a ton of compost, how much value is that really going to add to your garden? How much more is your garden going to produce because you made your own compost? hopefully at least $300 worth of produce for the amount of money that you spent in just compost. Okay, we're on to number three. The third thing that I see homesteaders blow their money on is livestock. If you have dreams of owning your own animals, there is going to be some hard truths here. You really need to sit down and think about, once you factor in infrastructure, feed, bedding, healthcare for your livestock, do you still come out ahead? And I know there is something to be said about quality, and you can't always compare to grocery store prices, but you can end up paying astronomical prices for eggs or a finished cut of meat if you're not careful. Make sure you are not purchasing animals that are too expensive to begin with, or buying high maintenance breeds that aren't suited well to your climate. You can also spend way too much money on feed for your animals if you're not careful. And I think this is where most people who are just getting started in livestock can end up getting in too deep over their head and not realizing some of the costs to feed an animal. If you are buying all your feed at the feed store, your costs are going to be very high. Then once you factor in labor, you really need to think, is it worth it? Or would you be better off purchasing from a local farmer instead? For most people, in order to be cost effective with raising animals, you need to have the space for alternative feed sources like grazing or being able to use garden scraps, or be able to partner with a farmer that can get you bulk discounts on grain to use as feed for your animals. But you need to have something. If you're relying on feed from the feed store alone, I can just about guarantee that the cost of maintaining those animals is going to be more than what they're worth. Okay, the fourth thing that homesteaders blow their money on is expensive kitchen appliances that you don't use often. So I'm talking about grain mills, dehydrators, pressure canners. These are all big ticket items that can cost hundreds of dollars. If you only use your dehydrator once a year to make fruit leather for your kids, I can tell you right now, you're wasting your money. If you have a grain mill that you only use 5% of the time and just buy most of your own flour, it's not worth the purchase. I personally have a grain mill and a pressure canner, and I love them both. They are expensive purchases that I invested in, but I use them enough that I will save money over the lifetime of that appliance because I'm not buying flour anymore. I'm grinding my own. I'm canning my own items. So there are savings there, but you have to use it enough that those savings are going to be more than what you paid for the appliance. So if you're only using it a few times, or if you decide that you don't really love it, it's not your thing, that wasn't really a great investment for you. So it's not that these appliances are bad, but don't buy big ticket items just because it's the homesteady thing to do. Really evaluate if it's going to fit your lifestyle, if you're really going to get a lot of use out of it, and don't just buy it because it's what all the other homestead moms use. So number five is along the same lines. It is buying in bulk when you don't use in bulk. So things like seeds, fertilizer, potting soil, mulch. This could even apply to food if you're buying your food, like your flour or your grains in bulk. Bulk prices are nice, but if you don't use it, it's a waste of money. These are things that take space to store and they don't last forever. So in the meantime, you could be using your money on something else. Seeds only last a couple years, and if you are just growing a small backyard garden and you're only using a small portion of your seeds, chances are the rest are going to go bad before you get a chance to use them anyway. And same thing with food. Food has a shelf life too. A lot of your dry storage that you can get in bulk will last up to a year as long as it's stored properly, like in well-sealed gamma buckets. But if you don't have it stored properly, or if you buy more than what you can consume in a year, again, it's just wasted product. So you're really not money ahead, even if you purchased it for the bulk price. All right, and number six, the last thing that I want to talk about that homesteaders blow their money on is probably the worst one of them all, and this is excessive decor. I see way too many homesteaders going for the aesthetic of the cute white farmhouse. Cutesy chicken coops that look like a very nice expensive shed. I promise the chickens do not care what it looks like. Wanting a certain aesthetic for your home, like a farm style sink or a gas burning stove or a cute picket fence out front, there's nothing wrong with those things, and I'm not against beautifying your property. I can admire pictures like that and see the beauty in that, and there's a lot of people that have joy in having that beauty in their home and their property. But if finances are holding you back from what you want to accomplish on your homestead, you need to prioritize. And sometimes you need to choose the functional option versus the cute option. Or if you're looking at other people's homesteads and thinking, I can't afford that, maybe you can't afford that, but do you need to be able to afford that? You can accomplish a lot of the same things that that person is doing, but it just might not be done to the aesthetic that they're doing it or to maybe what you would want. But you have to think about, what is your bigger picture goal here? Do you want to be able to grow and produce your own food, or do you want to have a house that looks cute? And I'm not saying that those things are mutually exclusive. I'm not saying that you can't have conveniences if you can afford them and you feel it would be meaningful for your family. I don't think there's anything wrong with these things if they bring you happiness or make your life easier, as long as you're in a place where you have the excess to spend. So what do I really want you to walk away from with today's episode? I want you to ask yourself some questions. Number one, what are the big homesteading purchases on your list? Are there ways you can have a similar outcome with either a DIY option, or choose something a little bit simpler, or maybe something that's just not quite as cute? And think about, is this really a valuable purchase for where you're at right now? Or maybe this is a future purchase once your homestead grows, or when you have more time or knowledge to invest into that thing that you're purchasing. I truly believe it's important to pace yourself with homesteading, not only with your time and your mental investment with learning, but also with your finances. I would really encourage you to experience before you purchase, meaning grow your first garden straight in the dirt before building a huge bed. Get really good at baking your own bread before you invest in a grain mill. Start with a very small, modest chicken coop with less than 10 chicks. It takes years to build a homestead. It is so much better to grow as you go versus trying to buy and accomplish everything in that first year. And as time goes on, you'll have a better understanding of what you need and what you don't, what you find value in and what you can live without. And these are things you just don't know without experiencing them for yourself. Okay, ladies, I think this about sums up today's episode. I hope this episode gave you freedom in understanding the things you do not need to start your homestead. I pray that this episode would help you start the simple, healthy homestead that you're dreaming about. And before you go, I want to remind you to join our community of Christian mamas just like you, seeking a simpler, healthier lifestyle on a budget. It's 100% free, so join us at bit.ly/farmfamilycommunity to find the support and encouragement you're looking for in your homesteading journey. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that you leave this episode encouraged in Christ and equipped with practical knowledge for your homestead. If that's you, will you take 30 seconds right now to leave a written review on Apple Podcasts? Your review blesses me so much and helps other mamas find this podcast and start their homesteading journey. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait to talk to you next week.